Today's show is brought to you by CBDMD. I don't know if you know this about me, but I generally go to sleep somewhere between 2 and 3 in the morning. That is the life of an NBA-involved person. Generally late, unless you're Brad Stevens, where you get a nice warm glass of milk and you go to bed at 10:30 when you can. But I am up late, which means I have trouble sleeping sometimes, and that's why CBDMD is going to help me out. Getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done. So I'm going to rely on our good friends at CBDMD to get me that sleep that I need. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, and chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little bit before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience. And they are now available in lavender and eucalyptus scents. It's so luxurious, I just stumbled over the words. As well as nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. So to make it even easier to start the year off right, CBDMD is offering Locked On Celtics listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com with the promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Robert Williams is back, and the COVID fight did not go great. Plus, Kemba Walker feels good. They're going to play basketball in Philly, and I'm talking about it on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Billy, let's go. Rainy Jay's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly. Podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global, but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, I hope you are enjoying a little bit of peace and happiness, courtesy of the Locked On Celtics podcast, on a Monday through Friday basis, whether you're at the gym, in the shower, at work, whatever. I hope I'm brightening your day a little bit. My name is John Corrales. I host this show. I am the author of the new book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at booksellers everywhere. Anywhere you can get books, you should be able to get this book. So please buy it. It's a fun book. Today on the show, Robert Williams comes back and is with the team after his COVID-19 diagnosis. And that seems a little more harrowing. He talked to the media on Tuesday. It seemed a lot more serious than he was letting on. Plus, segment two, Kemba Walker, his recovery after a one-game return, and the Celtics in Philly getting ready to play the Sixers. Segment three, I'm going to share my appearance on Zone Radio in Maine. Every once in a while, I do these regular radio hits. I like to share me being asked questions by somebody else. This adds a little something different. I'm going to give you that in segment three. Let's start with Robert Williams, who was back and talked about his experience dealing with COVID-19. And it was kind of scary. When I hear him talk about the diagnosis and the progression of this, I didn't like any of this. So it starts with a couple days before his diagnosis. And he was on the road with the Celtics, but his daughter and his daughter's mother both tested positive. And then his mom also, a couple days ago he learned, or a few days ago after that, he found out that she tested positive. Now, Robert Williams says that he landed after the Miami game and found out that he tested positive. That's why he must have been in the car. He must have been in a car with Tristan Thompson and Grant Williams and Carson Edwards, because those three guys have been out. They had the contact tracing thing. That must have been where this was. That must have been how this went. So Robert Williams ends up getting COVID and actually experiencing symptoms. He says that his daughter never experienced symptoms, which is good. That's super important. And everybody who got it in his family is now over it, which obviously very good. But Robert says, he says, quote, "I woke up in sweats. One night I'm going through not being able to sleep. Every 5 seconds I'm pulling the cover off of me and putting it back on me. It was kind of tough." Like, he was going through like real flu-like symptoms. And luckily for him, it didn't result in anything more serious, but he actually experienced the symptoms of COVID-19. And this is part of why I really was railing against continuing the season, and why I think this whole season, if you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast, I do the Locked On NBA on Wednesdays with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. I talk about this, how the season feels like this throwaway, just get through it at all costs. Part of why I wanted the NBA to pause, we don't know what the long-term effect is here. Yeah, okay, he had the chills, he woke up in sweats. Like, in the long run, if that's all this was, okay, that's fine. People get the flu, they wake up with sweats, they get chills, they do this thing, they get over it, they go on with their lives, no big deal. But COVID is different, and I don't know if this is going to cause long-term lung damage. Is this going to affect his ability to run, his cardio? Is that going to have any issue there? We don't know for sure. Is this going to have any sort of long-term brain impact? There have been reports that say yes, that that's possible. Is that going to happen here? I don't know. Nobody knows. The uncertainty is what gets me. What riles me up. But he went through, and he also had a cardiac test. When you test positive in the NBA, you have to go through a cardiac test, so you don't have what is called myocarditis, which we've seen a couple of athletes have. It's an inflammation of your heart. How scary is that? An inflammation of your heart. You kind of need your heart to function properly to live. But he had the cardiac test, which, by the way, was at 6 a.m. And he was very adamant about like how it was at 6 a.m. But that worked out. And so he's cleared to return. I just hope that there's nothing long term. I hope that there's no, like, I hope I'm not writing a story 10 years from now when I go to 2031 at whatever outlet I'm working at. And I do the 10-year retrospective of the COVID season. And I find Robert Williams at the end of his career, or maybe already retired, and say, "Hey, how did COVID impact you?" And he says, "It's the worst thing that happened to me." Like, I hope that's not the case. But right now, I can't rule that out. We'll see how it impacts him. He is with the team. He's expected to play on Wednesday night. The Celtics are expected to play on Wednesday night. And I'm going to talk about that in the next segment, along with Kemba Walker and his reaction to playing in that first game, those 20 minutes. How did he recover from that? That is next. If you are looking to lay some money down on the NBA, the NFL, NHL, sure, you can do that too. You can do that at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You are going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever it is, the NFL playoffs, they're starting to wind down. You got the conference championships coming up, and then the Super Bowl. There are a ton of prop bets there. There are a ton of in-game bets that you can place on the NBA. There's college basketball, hockey, anything that you want. If there's a sport, you can probably bet on it. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's like a win right away. Now, please gamble responsibly. at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. So you've signed up for your free betonline.ag account. You got your 50% welcome bonus, and now you're looking for an edge in placing your bets. That's where the new Locked On Bets podcast comes in. It's hosted by your boy Q, who is the Locked On Raiders host, and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks, quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. So subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast right now, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Kemba Walker, I asked Brad Stevens how Kemba Walker was doing after 20 minutes. Now, he came back. The big story this weekend, after a shellacking at the hands of the New York Knicks, was, all right, that Knicks game happened, whatever, blah, blah, blah. How's Kemba? Kemba came out of that game feeling good. He was moving well. Today, we got to talk to Brad Stevens, and he said, yeah, Kemba's fine. Came out of it, felt good, full practice, full go. He's going to play, no problems. So, Kemba with the team in Philly, apparently everything's fine. So far, early returns after one game, which, you know, he looked good in the early parts of the bubble too. So let's not, you know, there's going to be a lot of time here to judge whether this was a good plan or not. But what we don't have is a disaster like, oh yeah, he came back, his knee sucks, he's out for a while. He went, he practiced, felt good, done. Then the question was, are you actually going to play on this game on Wednesday? The Sixers Sunday saw their game postponed against the Thunder. They were out there warming up, and all of a sudden everybody got called back, and the game was postponed. So Brad Stevens says, quote, "We never felt like this game was in flux. It sounded like that was a testing issue, so we always felt like we were going to play in this game. Right from the get-go, that was what was communicated to us from at least to me via our front office. I haven't thought twice about that." So if you're concerned at all about the Celtics going and facing the Sixers and, oh my God, the Sixers just had this postponement, maybe this is not a situation like it was with the Wizards. I hope it wasn't. But there was some sort of testing issue. The game was postponed. Now it looks like they're ready to play. So now the Celtics are going to play the Sixers on Wednesday. And that is going to be a good, I think, measuring stick. I can't put too much into that game or these games overall, because the Celtics are still just integrating Kemba. Jason Tatum is not back. And so he's not back on Wednesday. Brad Stevens said Friday to be determined. So I don't know if he's going to play on Friday. So whatever happens, even if the Celtics win, I don't know how it's going to impact the overall kind of feeling of how do these Celtics match up against the Sixers. But we have two games against a team that's right there in the standings that has a stake to the claim of one of the best teams in the East. They're playing great. Joel Embiid is playing at an MVP level. What do the Celtics do against the Sixers? It's going to be interesting to see if Brad Stevens tips his hand somehow. Is there going to be something? Does he go double big? I don't think so. Who does he start? Is he going to hide anything? Are you looking at anything in this game where you say, he should do this? And you go, oh, well, maybe him doing this is a way to hide what his actual intent is. It's hard to say. I don't know what he's going to be thinking, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics deploy their bigger guys against the Sixers. How do they attack that shooting? Can they contain Ben Simmons? But what we do know is that you're going to get Kemba. You're going to get most of these guys. Robert Williams will be back. So how does Brad Stevens use his big rotation? Does Daniel Tice come off the bench? Does Robert Williams come off the bench? There are things to kind of watch for. And you can follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, to get some of those reactions. From there, we want to see how Kemba and Jalen really interact with one another. I think that's going to be a big kind of storyline here for the Celtics. And I don't think that there's going to be, I don't think there's going to be a problem with how they interact with one another. I think they're going to figure it out. But as you heard me say in the crossover with Geno Time, there is something to be said about Jaylen Brown and his usage above the free throw line versus below the free throw line. When you're playing below the free throw line, you're spotting up in the corners. When you're Jaylen Brown, when you're above the free throw line, you're a ball handler coming off of picks and all of that. So how does Kemba, who is still going to be Kemba, and Brad Stevens says, look, we're going to need, he said after practice on Tuesday, we're going to need Kemba to be Kemba. Like, our only chance to be good is Kemba being Kemba on top of everything else. But how does Kemba be Kemba, Tatum be Tatum, Jalen be Jalen? Like, how do those three things still happen, but all work together? It can happen, but this is a real good opportunity to see how it happens. We'll talk about it. You'll be with me post-game on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and we'll see. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I will have a post-game podcast for you after that game, and we'll see how some of these answers go. Up next, I will share my radio hit with The Zone in Maine, and you'll just a little something different that I like to do from time to time. So get a Built Bar, relax, and enjoy a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but is still good for you. 18 flavors that come with nuts or no nuts, so if you've got an allergy, no problem, there are options for you. I just got sent a sampler, like a mixed box, and that's opened me up to a lot of different flavors. I am a peanut butter guy. I love peanut butter. I could sit there. If you gave me a jar of peanut butter, I could probably eat half the jar, no problem, just sitting there talking to you. Like, I love peanut butter. So that's what I kind of default to. But they sent me stuff like the mint brownie, super good. Coconut almond, amazing. And like something like coconut almond, if you're into coconut, I know not everybody is, but 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. That it tastes like an Almond Joy. Now you can go have an Almond Joy, or you can have this and it's better for you. So give it a shot. You don't have to go buy a ton. That's the beauty of this offer. If you go to BuiltBar.com, and by the way, go to BuiltBar.com. They have like a ton of other offers going on a regular basis. So on top of the stuff that I'm telling you, there's probably more that you can get at BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off. So if you want to just go buy a box, go buy one of these mixed boxes that I was talking about. Try the flavors, figure out which one you like. Then you can go back, use the promo code LOCKEDON again for 20% off a bigger order. It's all there for you. Whatever you want, check it out. 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com.
sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Make sure you are subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast. On Wednesdays, it's me and Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. We recapped the two games in the NBA, Pelicans Jazz and Thunder Nuggets. We also talked about Kyrie, an extended conversation about Kyrie and his return and him practicing with the Brooklyn Nets and his long conversation with the media on Tuesday. And our sour rankings, we talked about a few things that we do hate right now about the NBA season. Just getting some stuff off of our chest. So subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today. Here is now my conversation from Tuesday with Rich Kimble on Twitter at Downtown Rich K. He's the host of a show on The Zone in Bangor, Maine. And every once in a while, I like to share my conversations with him and maybe some hits that I do on other shows, because it's just it mixes it up a little bit. Here's an opportunity now for me to share that. So here it is, my conversation with Rich Kimble.
Hey, back on Downtown here on a Tuesday afternoon. Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell with you, and time to talk some Celtics basketball. To do that, we turn to John Corrales of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Good afternoon to you, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, pretty well. Things are shaping up here, 12 games in. We're just going to write off that last ugly game as an aberration, right?
I don't know what game you're talking about, Rich.
Oh, well done.
They did not play on Sunday. I'm only not like half kidding. They really did not really play on Sunday. They're out there on the floor. They didn't really play well. They couldn't hit a shot. But Kemba came back and he was moving well. So we're going to look at the positives there. It's funny this season, home teams have had a tendency to get blown out from time to time. Mm. I think it's a weird phenomenon this year. And I think we're realizing that the fans in the stands, if you were ever wondering if you as a fan at a game make a difference, I think this year has shown that yes, fans in stands definitely have an influence on the game.
You mentioned Kemba was back and by and large looked pretty good. What kind of minutes restriction is he on for the near term?
I think we're looking at somewhere around 20 minutes or so, 5-6 minute stints here and there. I don't know if he's going to be closing any games in the short term, but for now, they're going to really take it slow. Obviously, they didn't rush him back. He played 19 and a half minutes in that first game and had a scare when he got the wind knocked out of him, but he's okay after that as well. He went through practice today. It's fine. He's going to play tomorrow in Philly. That game seems like it's going to be played. So 20 minutes or so, and then they're going to see how that reacts after a little bit, and then maybe slowly start bumping up his minutes, and with the goal being getting him to play his full allotment of minutes closer towards the playoffs.
So 12 games in, what do we know about this team?
Well, we know that Jaylen Brown is really, really good. We know that Jason Tatum is really, really good. And we know that they have some pieces that have stepped up and have shown that they can be somewhat reliable. We know that Peyton Pritchard is a nice revelation. We know that Semi Ojeleye has found some consistency in his jump shot, despite the, I think, 0-for-6 against New York. And I think we've seen that Robert Williams, who is back from his COVID-19 diagnosis, he has progressed a little bit. So the Celtics are still very much a work in progress, because the lineups that they had been using for the first part of this season are not going to really be the lineups they use moving forward. They're probably not going to be the lineups that make the most sense with Kemba Walker out there. But we're still waiting for Jason Tatum to come back, and there's like a whole new chapter of this Celtics story to be written with Kemba here. So we've learned a little bit about these guys, and now we got to learn a little bit more to see how Kemba kind of comes back and reintegrates with this team.
And how does that impact the rotation, and whose minutes get most affected by the return of Kemba?
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing. I mean, the first thing I'm looking at is how the bigs are used. part of the Celtics going double big was experimenting with a rotation and letting them kind of figure out certain things, and Daniel Theis trying to work through some things, trying to play the four. Now, with Kemba back, that's not going to be the best lineup. You're going to probably want to roll Marcus Smart out there with him, have Tatum and Brown, and then one of the centers. So it's looking like all of the centers might have to sacrifice a little bit, but clearly, depending on the matchup, one of those guys is going to get frozen out on certain nights. The question is it the same guy? Does Daniel Theis go to the bench and you just go with Tristan Thompson and Robert Williams? They play similar styles. Do you go with that and say, well, sorry, Daniel Theis, you know, it was never going to be for the long term anyway? Or do they find another way? And then obviously there's the backups at the guard. How do you run with that? How much can you really, really count on Peyton Pritchard? Because he's still a rookie. As much as he's been really good, he is still a rookie, and he's still going to be somewhat inconsistent just by virtue of being a rookie. So where does Jeff Teague fit in all of this? And then there's the ancillary, like, do you use Shemi Ojeleye? Do you use Grant Williams? And we have to remember that at some point in about a month or so, they're going to get Romeo Langford back. Mm. And he's a guy that they want to use. So they need somebody at that big kind of switchable wing off the bench position. And Aaron Nesmith hasn't shown that he's ready for that yet. So Romeo Langford will certainly get a chance. There's going to be another element to throw into this mix.
It's early still, but John, is there a clear need for this roster going forward?
I think that a four, not that we're looking at, we still use these positional designations, but the Celtics don't have a more reliable guy. If they want to go big, they can't really count on Daniel Theis playing those quicker fours. I mean, I go back to the Detroit mini series and Jeremy Grant just torched the poor guy. Those types of players are going to be tough for Daniel Theis. And I think the Celtics kind of need somebody who's more of the big wing mold that can play that four, which is why I look at Aaron Gordon in Orlando as a potential trade target. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that's the type of player that I think they could really, really use, because he can step out and shoot, but he's still going to be strong and he can be more versatile. I think they have great versatility around the perimeter. They don't have that versatility from the wing to the big quite as much. Shemi Ojeleye to a degree, Grant Williams to a degree, but I think they just need a better upgrade from that in case they wanted to start big and move Marcus Smart to the bench to kind of anchor that second unit.
One of the highlights of the early season, for me at least, was Taco banking it off the glass from somewhere around Newton. What's his status? How long is he likely to be out?
Well, unfortunately for Taco, he, on that drive and dunk, kind of landed a little awkward on his ankle. So he rolled his ankle a little bit. It's kind of like a day-to-day thing. I don't know if he's going to be available for these two games against Philly, but we're going to get an updated injury report at some point later on. We'll figure it out. It's not too serious. But, hey, Taco's been pretty good for a guy that was, he was very lost last year and slow. This year he's shown at least an uptick in his speed and recognition and awareness. So, nice progression from him. I hope that he can come back and make a little bit of a contribution in the short term.
All right, so what do they have to do? What will be the keys for these games with the 76ers?
Well, I think with the Sixers, first of all, it's that overall measuring stick. They are right there, percentage points behind the Celtics, atop the standings. And the standings at this point don't mean a whole lot, but you want to see how the Celtics can handle a big like Joel Embiid. There's a very strong possibility that a playoff run will have to go through Philly. So what's Tristan Thompson going to look like against Joel Embiid? What can the Celtics do defensively to kind of rein in some of the shooting around the Sixers. They've done a great job putting shooting around those two stars, Simmons and Embiid, and it's paying off. So can the Celtics defend that three-point line without giving up straight line drives from Ben Simmons and then alley-oops? Like, once you start seeing a couple of alley-oops like the Celtics were giving up by the ton against New York, then that's going to be problematic. I think the Celtics' perimeter defense has quietly not been great. Not a lot of conversation about it. They need to really fix that. And I want to see how the Celtics do against a bigger team. Like, when Embiid is there, can they attack a bigger player like that and stop settling for threes? Can they get in there, get the paint touches, collapse the defense, and then kick it out? So those are the few things few challenges that Philly presents.
John Corrales, the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. John, we thank you as always. Enjoy the games this week. We'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right. My pleasure. Talk to you then.
Again, you can follow Rich at Downtown Rich K on Twitter. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you are a new listener, you're going to get a podcast from me every Monday through Friday. There will be a post-game podcast after this game Wednesday night, but there won't be one Friday. I will roll that into the Monday podcast. That's how this generally works. So subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can tell your smart device to play the latest episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast. You regular listeners, you can give that 5-star rating, good written review if you haven't. I would really appreciate that. And share the podcast. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.